And we're back midstream in this edition of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. My guest for the remainder of the hour is Patty Wackendorf, the new warden at the Iowa State Penitentiary in Fort Madison. Earlier this year, she took over for retiring warden Nick Ludwig. You might remember he had been on this program several times during his time as warden, and I had visited the old facility as well as the new one and brought that to you here on Iowa Public Radio. The Iowa State Penitentiary in Fort Madison is the state's only maximum security men's prison. It has over 300 of Iowa's most dangerous inmates, lifers, as they're known. There are hundreds of other men serving time who will eventually return to their communities. Now, prior to taking this position, Wackendorf spent 7 years as warden of the Iowa Correctional Institution for Women in Mitchellville. She joins us today for the remainder of the hour. Warden Wackendorf, welcome to our studio and our program.
Thanks, Ben. Thanks for asking me.
Let's talk about this difference that you've just experienced over the last few months, switching from Mitchellville, the facility for women offenders, to leading the Iowa State Penitentiary. What's that been like?
It's been interesting. It's been fun. It's been challenging. I've been gone from the men for over 15 years, so I'm catching up with maximum security versus medium security at Mitchellville and the differences between men and women in general.
That's right. We want to mention you had been earlier at the Iowa State Penitentiary. You'd worked there, right?
Yes. I started there in 1983, and I was there for about 14, 15 years. So I started at Fort Madison, so it's nice being able to end my career there as well.
Right. And you're at a new Fort Madison. We'll talk about that in a minute, not the old one that dated back to the 1800s. Let's talk about this interesting aspect of the transition you've made. What are the chief differences between men and women incarcerated?
Men are more violent than women. Women are much more relationship-oriented. We had fights at Mitchellville, but not to the extent that sometimes we have fights at Fort Madison. A bigger difference, too, is most of the men, half of them are lifers. 80% of them are doing crime for violent offenses. At Mitchellville, you know, 90-95% of the women were going home, and less than a third of them, about a little less than 30%, were doing crimes for violent offenses. So different crimes, different personalities. It's a challenge.
Mm-hmm. When you have a population, several hundred, that are lifers, will not be released. They will spend their last days behind those walls. How does that make a difference in terms of discipline? Because it sort of limits the possibilities, doesn't it?
Well, I think you'd be surprised to know that most of those guys are pretty well behaved. The lifers know they're going to die in Fort Madison for the most part, because life in Iowa does mean life. So they're usually well behaved. They want the most privileges that they can get to make their stay as comfortable, for lack of a better word, in a prison setting. So they're usually pretty well behaved.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned fights. Let's talk about a large fight reported that broke out last month at the Iowa State Penitentiary. According to the AP report I saw, about 80 inmates facing disciplinary action, an incident in the prison yard. Tell us what you know about what happened.
It was a large fight on the yard. Staff got it under control quickly. The fight actually lasted less than 2 minutes. It was just a little over 1 minute that it started and it was ended. So staff did a great job getting it under control, and that it didn't get any larger, and there were hardly any injuries, a couple minor ones for the offenders and no staff injuries. So mm-hmm. It was a great job, great response by staff. That's what we trained for.
What was the fight over? Was it gang-related?
You know, some of it could have been gang-related. Some of it was race-related. Some of it is ego. Some of it is lack of respect. You know, you have an interesting clientele down there, so sometimes it's a little things that mean a lot. So they're still sorting through all the details.
Mm-hmm. And I've stood on that new yard with those tall poles, and atop those tall poles, what are they, a couple hundred feet tall, aren't they? With cameras to observe every little corner in that yard, right?
That's one of the biggest advantages between the old prison and the new prison, is we have great technology at the new prison, so there are hundreds of cameras, so we are able to catch things that happen. And it takes time to go back and review all those cameras so you can get a great recreation of what actually happened.
Mm-hmm. I remember talking with Warden Ludwig about, he always used the word, and you will know this, the word vibe, to have the right vibe in the penitentiary, and to have the correctional officers tuned into that vibe and to be aware of when something is amiss. Can you tell us anything more about how you get those antennae?
I think it's experience. And I know exactly what Nick is talking about. You can walk in there and feel the vibe of the day. And any staff with experience, I think, can pick up on it. Does it feel tense? Does it feel relaxed? Obviously, you want it to be relaxed. You don't like those tense feelings, but you are very aware of what's going on.
Mm-hmm. You were in the your facility was in the paper because of this fight in July. When you have such things happen, people come to, well, most of us, and it's a good thing, have nothing to do with prisons or penitentiaries. So there are a lot of misconceptions. What would you say are the biggest misconceptions you think the general public has about life and work inside a penitentiary?
There's a lot of misconceptions, and unfortunately, I think the biggest one is people believe what they see in the media, on TV shows, and that's not reality. So I think part of my job as a warden is getting out and speaking to people, and I do a lot of speaking engagements to Kiwanis, schools, rotaries, things like that, so that people do know there's a lot of good things that go on in a prison system, but unfortunately, those things aren't reported by the media. You know, they like to report big fights and things like that. The average day is pretty calm. The average day, staff does a great job de-escalating situation with the offenders, and we have programming all over the prison system in Iowa. We do a great job getting people skills they need if they're willing and ready to develop those skills before they go back out to society. Unfortunately, those positive good stories aren't reported a lot.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, safety and security is understandably a focus here. Do you feel you have enough correctional officers, staff, to carry out your mission safely so that offenders and your staff are safe at all times?
You know, I run this budget like I do my personal budget at home. You only have so much. If we don't have it in our account, we can't spend it. You know, I'm given a budget by the legislature that the governor signs off on, and that's how we operate it. So we do the best we can with what we have. So we have some openings, yes, of course we do, but we also do a great job doing the best we can with what we have, re-looking at our staffing, can we make changes, move things around, and we do that on a daily basis to make sure that everything is covered mm-hmm. so that we can do a good job.
Making the best with what you have, can I read into that you would wish for more staff?
I would imagine every prison warden across the country would ask for more staff, would want more staff, just like schools want more school teachers. Yes, we all want more staff, but reality is we can only hire what we can afford, so we do the best with the numbers that we have.
Staff has an interesting relationship with the new facility because it has a much different architecture than the old one. Now, talk a little bit about that. It's now, been 2 years since the new facility has been open?
Yes, 2 years this week. We just had an anniversary lunch, a cookout at the prison to celebrate 2 years at the new place. You know, the new place is much older, is much different than the old place. I frankly miss the old place. You know, that's where I started. That's where I grew up in the prison system. That's where I learned.
Really? Really? What would you miss about this facility that part of it dated back to a very scary part of it, dated back to the middle of the 1800s and predated Iowa statehood?
For lack of a better word, the old place had a personality. It had character. The new place is by far much more security-oriented, by far much better visibility, much better lines of sight, much better technology, use of technology. The old place didn't have that kind of stuff. So from a security standpoint, the new place is much better. Mm-hmm. From an emotional standpoint, I still miss the old place.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, or perhaps you've talked about them? I know your style tells me you would talk with the offenders. What do they think of the new place compared to the old one? Because I was in the old one talking with offenders, and they were, of course, the unknown is scary. They didn't know what to expect. What do you think the offenders think of the new place?
Oh, they miss the old place, too. I talked to them about it a lot. You know, they kind of smile, and they like to reminisce about the old times and up the hill, down the hill kind of things is how they describe the new versus the old. So they miss the old place. but they also understand this is technology, this is progress, and this is the way it's going to be.
Mm-hmm. Not only technology, but a really different layout pods compared to these big, I don't know what you call the other parts, but pods and the offenders can walk right up to your correctional officers?
Correct. That's direct supervision. It's the way the country is going as far as prison supervision. That was a change for Fort Madison. It really wasn't a change at Mitchellville when we opened the new prison there, but it was a big change for the officers at Fort Madison and the staff, and they've adjusted pretty well.
Mm-hmm. All of them? I mean, because before, you have to picture you had a barrier usually between what you and the offenders, and this is a very open architecture, much more contact with offenders. What is the thinking behind that that makes that more secure than having the barriers?
You build the relationships. You know, you have conversations. You build the relationship. You know your guys. You're not behind a glass office, or you're not behind bars. And I think it's very effective.
Hmm. The most recent state data showing Iowa's prison population up, I think. The rate of repeat offenders also increasing somewhat from the previous year. What do you take away from the new numbers?
You know, I'm disappointed. Obviously, we always want to see the recidivism rate go down. It has gone up a little bit, but it is still one of the lowest in the country. You know, some states have 50, 60, 70% recidivism rate, and Iowa is still at 30 or a little bit less. So we have work to do, you know, but I still like to focus on 70% don't come back. That's very good numbers. So prison system is making a difference. Obviously, we want to see that go down to 20%, you know, so 80% don't come back. But we have work to do. We know we mm-hmm. have work to do. It's a challenging job. That's part of the reason I like it. That's part of the reason people get into this business, because it's a challenge.
Yep. How much of that recidivism rate increase do you attribute to the way a person is imprisoned, to the rehabilitation and learning of new skills and so forth? Is that all put on the shoulders of the prison or penitentiary, you think?
Oh, I don't think all of it can be. You have to want to change. A lot of our guys and women in the correction system does want to change. You know, they know that their issues is substance abuse or alcohol or relationships or anger or lack of coping skills and mental illness. So the vast majority do want to make those changes, and we try and give them the tools they need to change it. Some people don't want to change. You know, Ben, some people think that you and I are crazy, or you and I have the wrong ethics and moral thoughts. So not everybody thinks like us. So some of those people won't change. And then it's my job to make sure they stay in prison so society is safe. Mm-hmm. But for those that do want to change, I want to give them the opportunity and the skills and the classes and the staff that they need to make those changes.
Are you able to, Warden Wachendorf, able to walk around? I remember walking with Warden Nick Ludwig around. He seemed to move freely about, a lot of respect. Do you feel you can go to any part of the new facility and interact with offenders?
Oh, absolutely. I try and do it every day. If I can't get out there every day, I get out there several times a week. I go into the units. I go out on the yard. I go out into the weight yard and the gymnasium. I go out there and talk to them. I want them to be able to approach me freely and talk to me. I want staff to be able to approach me freely and talk to me. Sometimes staff will laugh when I call them into my office and say they feel like they're coming to the principal's office. They did something wrong. And I don't ever want staff to think that I only call them to my office when they do something wrong. You know, you got to call staff to your office and talk to staff when they do things right. Most of the time they do things right, and we need to acknowledge that. Mm-hmm. Same with the offenders.
How do you handle the fact that that you are a woman in a male penitentiary? Does that play into how you communicate with offenders?
I don't think so. I think I communicate a lot like Nick did. We're very, very open. We're very friendly. We're very inviting to talk to both staff and offenders. I think I see things differently, just like most women see things differently than men. We have a different perspective. I'm probably a little more open to changes, you know, not that Nick wasn't, but maybe it's my personality. I like to challenge the process. I like to find the balance a little bit more with being humane, humanistic. Those kind of balancing in a maximum security prison is a little more difficult than it was at Mitchellville with women, but I think it can be done, and I want to continue to try and do that at Fort Madison.
Mm-hmm. I understand at Fort Madison there's a garden for the offenders?
Yes, we planted the garden this year. First time. The guys love it. They're having fresh produce right now in the dining hall and their salads, and they love it, and they take great pride in working the garden and pulling weeds and waiting for the tomatoes to turn. So they love the garden. That's just one example of how you can try and soften, for lack of a better word, that maximum security environment and still maintain security. And mm-hmm. a garden is a good example of doing that.
Mm-hmm. I understand also you've introduced some therapy dogs this year.
We did. We went to the Animal Rescue League in Fort Madison and adopted two dogs. And we put them in our medical unit where we have some guys, their average age, I think, in there is 61. We have a guy that's 91. A lot of them are in wheelchairs. They have a lot of significant medical issues. And they're going to die there for the most part. Most of them are serving life sentences. So we put two small, basically lap dogs in there, and it changed the entire atmosphere of that unit. Guys were coming out of their cells that didn't usually come out of their cells. They're interacting more. They're laughing. They're smiling. They're playing with the dog. They're petting the dog. And it's interesting to see grown men get tears in their eyes when they haven't touched a dog in 30 years. Mm-hmm. So those are examples that I think that we can be kinder, gentler, and still maintain maximum security and maintain security in a facility like mm-hmm. that.
Kinder, gentler. Gardens, therapy dogs. I'm wondering how the victims of crimes committed by some of these offenders might feel listening to this conversation. How much of the rehabilitation is focused on victims of the crimes committed by these very serious offenders?
I'm glad you brought that up because I always, and that's part of the difficulty of my job, is balancing the victims. I never, ever forget these guys have victims. And it's part of my job to educate, and I have talked to many victims about my philosophy, about my approach. Obviously, we can't take away the pain and the hurt and the injuries that some of these guys, 80% of these guys, caused to bring them to Fort Madison, but it's a balance. They can't go back and undo that. The vast majority of the guys are sorry for what they did. You know, that doesn't undo the harm that they've caused a victim, but it's also a balance that for those that are going to get out, you can't keep punishing them for things like that. You want them to develop empathy for their victim so that if they do go back out, they have empathy so they don't repeat the crime. And even if they don't get out, they stay in. We want them to have empathy for their cellmates, for the other people they're doing time with, and certainly towards staff.
Mm-hmm. Is there any program that, under the right circumstances, brings the perpetrator and the victim together again?
The department does have a program that they can work with the victim, and it's a lot of work getting ready for that before there is a physical contact, you know, whether they see each other in person or on the phone or through letter writing. So there is a process available, and it's been very successful in the past.
Mm-hmm.
It's monitored very closely.
Back to the gang activity that we related to earlier in the program, since that fight recently was gang-related. Do you have any insight on gang activity in Iowa based on what you see at the penitentiary?
You know, I'm still getting up to speed with the gang activity.
Because that's the difference with the male and female population, right?
Big difference. There are women that are gang members, but not to the extent with the guys at Fort Madison. So it's a constant battle, for lack of a better word, to keep up with all the gang activities or gang philosophy. It's interesting to see how the penitentiary deals with kind of the gang issues that we have or mm-hmm. don't have.
Uh-huh. So some might say, probably not acquainted with the atmosphere that you're in, why not just ban gangs? Say it's not allowed.
Sure, can. We can ban violence. We can ban lying. We can ban stealing. We can ban people being disrespected to staff, but that's not reality. You know, and these guys, a lot of them, and not all, but many of them grew up in this kind of environment on the streets. It's in their nature. They certainly believe in some of their gang beliefs and principles, and it's trying to get people to, one, see that there's something wrong with that, if there is, and believing in something else. So it's a lifestyle change for some of these guys. You know, it's not easy to lose 10 pounds. It's not easy to quit smoking. It's not easy to change any bad habit or any lifestyle change. And it's not easy for these guys either. So it's day by day. And sometimes you take 3 steps forwards and you take 2 steps backwards. We're dealing with human beings. That's the interesting part of this job. That's the frustrating part of this job. That's the challenging part of this job.
Warden Wachendorf, you've been a few months there at the Iowa State Penitentiary in Fort Madison. What is your vision for the future of your penitentiary? How would you like it to change in the future in sort of concrete ways? What are you working toward?
More programming. I'd like to, the biggest thing I want to do right now is to continue to develop the domino effect. We started it in Mitchellville, and I want to do it in Fort Madison. We do have a date set in a couple months. Bringing school teachers in. You know, we all want to see the recidivism rate be reduced. I would like to see less people come to prison. So we're working with Drake University in Des Moines and inviting teachers to come in and talk to some of the offenders about their school experiences. So the real question is, how do we keep these people, these guys and these women, from coming to prison in the first place? Mm-hmm. So the domino effect is just a mechanism to hopefully prevent people from coming here in the first place so that we don't have to repair damages to the guys or to future victims.
Okay. In just a very few words, where do you get to your satisfaction about your job? What motivates you? What makes you happy about the working here?
Changing lives. You know, getting these guys to be better citizens and staff that want to promote, getting as much out of their careers that I've gotten out of my 35 years in the Department of Corrections.
Okay. Patty Wachendorf, warden of the Iowa State Penitentiary in Fort Madison, thank you so much for coming into the studio and sharing some fascinating insights. Thank you.
Thank you, Ben.
River to River is produced by Emily Woodbury, who will incidentally be stepping in for me while I'm away tomorrow as host of News Buzz. Also, Ben Stanton as producer, Lindsay Moon. Catherine Perkins is our executive producer. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.